Welcome back to Neutrino Watch on Friday, the 10th of May, 2024.
Hello and welcome back. I'm your host, as ever, John Wells. I want to say right at the top, I'm sorry this episode is coming out late. Life kind of got in the way. In this case, life being the communication array that links the lab here in Antarctica with the rest of civilization. We've been getting some very, very strange signals through the peripheral systems, and it stopped the neutrino detection data uploading automatically. It's also stopped the automated upload of the podcast, so it's taken me some time to sort out those problems. I'm now doing them manually, so hopefully we won't get any more glitches and you'll get a podcast every day, and we'll be able to get back into the science. So do tune in next time, and don't forget to rate the podcast and review it. Give it lots of stars on Apple iTunes, and I'll be back tomorrow with a bit more science.
Welcome back to Neutrino Watch on Saturday, the 11th of May, 2024.
Welcome back, everyone. I can't believe it's May, and I've been here almost a year. And when there's a communications blackout, like we had recently, it just reminds me that I'm out here on my own in Antarctica. I mean, that wouldn't have always been the case. The station was built to have two or three people who would rotate out. In the past, there was a more robust neutrino observation and detection network around the world, multiple staffed stations, all looking for these neutrinos that are of scientific interest. But during the Clinton administration, it was felt that we didn't need multiple staffed stations. We didn't need such a large-scale system. So the other stations now are automated, and this is the only staffed one, and it's just me, and I haven't been rotated out for a while. I've been here for nearly a year. So that's a bit of an insight into some of the decisions and the policy behind the science. And tomorrow, let's get back to neutrino watching, and I will let you know if I see one.
Welcome back to Neutrino Watch on Sunday, the 12th of May, 2024.
Hello, welcome back to the show. It's an exciting day because I've received an email. Initially, I hoped that might be from a listener, but it turns out we don't have very many listeners. It's from my boss. Thank you, Professor. They say, hi, John. Can you please, all caps, explain who that voice is over the theme song of the podcast? P.S. If you can make a go of this podcast and bump up the listener figures a little bit, maybe we can take that into account when we consider your transfer request. So focusing on that first part of the email, yeah, I can explain who that voice is. That's Wendy. It's an automated timestamp, and it's Wendy is the artificial intelligence that analyzes the data that comes out of the neutrino detector. Wendy's full name is the West Antarctic Ice Sheet Neutrino Observation Artificial Intelligence Data Processing Unit. But that's, I can't call her like Waysnubbed. So I call her Wendy. It's her job to process the data, to check that it's genuine data and not a false positive. We don't want scientists working on junk data. We don't want to warn people about potential electromagnetic storms when it's just a glitch with the system. And it was Wendy's job to also upload that data every day. As I said, those ghosts in the machine that have sort of screwed that up. So it's me doing that, but don't blame Wendy. It's not Wendy's fault. Now, if you've got questions about the facility here or Wendy or about me, please do write to me at neutrinowatchshow@gmail.com. Can't promise you'll get a reply from Wendy, but I certainly have plenty of time on my hands.
Welcome back to Neutrino Watch on Monday, the 13th of May, 2024.
Another exciting piece of news today, we saw a neutrino. As you know, we don't see many neutrinos because they interact very, very weakly with matter. In the last year or so, we've seen about 26 neutrinos, I think is the number, 27 if you include this one. Slightly more than I've received emails, so that is very exciting. So hopefully this is a bit of news that will push us up the iTunes chart, tell your friends about it. Let's give Brian Cox a bit of a run for his money, and let's get neutrino observatories into the spotlight. Moonlight. This is important work that's happening out here. You know, that will reflect well on the work that we do, me and Wendy. And next time there's a round of funding cuts, maybe they will reconsider. Maybe they'll put a couple of scientists in this location rather than just the one, or swap them out a little more frequently. So I hope that's exciting for you as a listener to hear the. You're the first people to hear about this, of course, because I'm uploading the data right now. I'm uploading it manually, so it's going up at basically the same time as the podcast. So you hear about it even before those scientists back at home. So that's really because of the signal problems that have been plaguing us. Anyway, so yeah, I'll be back tomorrow with another episode of Neutrino Watch.
Welcome back to Neutrino Watch on Tuesday, the 14th of May, 2024.
So some good news and some bad news. The good news is we uploaded the data from yesterday's event, and my calculations seem to show it was a real new neutrino event. Wendy agreed, and the scientists back at base agreed that the data is consistent with a new neutrino event. So that's great. The bad news is that it wasn't registered on any other detector. And now I think it's a genuine event. I think what's happened is perhaps the sort of strange signals that have been messing up our communications arrays and our peripheral systems are also affecting those automated locations. Maybe the automated data upload is broken in those sites too. Looking on the bright side, that meant we were the only people to see that neutrino. It's our discovery, and because I uploaded the data at the same time as the podcast, you heard about it first. So that's exciting. Sometimes science is not about being the best, it's about being the first, or at least being the only people on the scene. But yeah, don't be the only people on the scene. Share with your friends and tell them about Neutrino Watch, and write, like us, rate us and review us on all of your favourite podcast platforms, and I'll be back tomorrow.
Welcome back to Neutrino Watch on Wednesday, the 15th of May, 2024.
Quite a strange event late last night. I'd love to believe this was a real neutrino burst. That would be exciting, but probably that's not what's happening. It's probably just a problem with your equipment. Anyway, do rate and review the podcast, and I'll be back tomorrow with more news on that.
Welcome back to Neutrino Watch on Thursday, the 16th of May, 2024.
Well, Wendy's analysis suggests that yesterday's event was genuine. It was a neutrino burst from a supernova. I've been very busy trying to deal with the electrical problems we've had around the site. I haven't done a full analysis, but my preliminary impressions are, yes, it was a real event, despite what I said yesterday. Now, I've reported neutrino events in the past that I thought were supernovae. I'll hold my hand up and say I wasn't always right about that. And some corners of the scientific community would have you believe that John Wells will shout supernova every time they see a blip on their computer. Never mind the fact I spent 4 years in a salt mine in Siberia getting my PhD in neutrino physics. Apparently that counts for nothing. Now, the automated sites, the other neutrino detection sites, are not reporting any detection events. I can see that from my systems. So it would be just my claim that there's a supernova. So I'm gonna make sure I do the analysis correctly before I pass upload that data, and I pass my findings on to my colleagues. So isn't that exciting? It's sort of a bit of a mystery there. Is there a supernova? Isn't there? It's a bit like Serial, but without the murder teenagers. And great opportunity to get your friends involved, get them on board the Neutrino Watch roller coaster. And I'll be back tomorrow with the results of my analysis. So yeah, I'll see you then.
Welcome back to Neutrino Watch on Friday, the 17th of May, 2024.
Having done some more analysis on that data from 2 days ago, the neutrino burst event, it almost exactly matches the profile of a scenario that I actually outlined in my PhD in a theoretical chapter. That burst of neutrinos is a sign that in a few days' time there will be another burst, this time of what I describe as subatomic debris from a cosmic event. Now, this particular neutrino profile is a sign of subatomic debris that will only disrupt communications for a short period, probably a few hours, but has the capacity to wipe storage media, hard drives and things like that. I doubt it'll affect like the army and the navy and power stations. They're under thick concrete and they're designed to be protected from some of these sorts of disruptions, but people's homes will be affected. Commercial servers, like especially media, TV and film, and I guess podcasts as well. I haven't communicated this back to base yet, because if I'm wrong, this could cause so much disruption, and it's not going to do wonders for my reputation either, as my boss is fond of saying, don't get it wrong again, John. But in the meantime, I am going to build a Faraday cage for my own data, put my stuff in there. The event is 4 days away. That gives me plenty of time. And also, if I change my mind about this, if I'm sure this is real, that's still time for people to respond. So I'm going to build that Faraday cage. I'm going to do a little bit more analysis. I'm going to make sure that I can't help thinking about all of the people who make music and film and podcasts who don't have a Faraday cage. I mean, does Joe Rogan have a Faraday? Well, actually, yeah, Joe Rogan probably does have a Faraday cage. All right, I'm going to go make my Faraday cage. I'll be back tomorrow to tell you more.
Welcome back to Neutrino Watch on Saturday, the 18th of May, 2024.
So a little bit of news, I guess. The Faraday cage is going really well. Turns out I've got everything I need here to build it. So that's great news. I'm going to be able to protect all my stuff. The other news is I have come to the decision not to share my findings with home base. Now, I mean, of course, they could just listen to this podcast. If they listened to this podcast, they would have heard everything in retrospect, it wasn't the greatest decision to live broadcast my results, but they'd have to listen to the podcast. I don't think they do. I don't think my boss listens. I don't think even the neutrino physics community listen. I don't think anyone listens to this podcast. So you might think the decision not to communicate my results is grossly irresponsible and unprofessional, and you'd be wrong, and I'll tell you why. We're the only site to have detected these neutrinos. None of the automated sites have communicated any results. The hypothetical scenario is one for my PhD thesis that even my thesis examiners described as wildly back of the envelope calculations, and I don't want there to be a huge panic. I don't want Amazon to be burying their hard drives in the Utah desert, and I really don't want to have to deal with the fallout if I'm wrong. On the flip side, if I'm right, eventually those podcasts will come back. They'll be back up somewhere. There'll be someone's, a hard drive in a basement. But for a short amount of time, after the Apple podcast servers have spun back up again, and it's basically a desert, I'll be able to upload my podcast. My podcast would have been in a Faraday cage. I'll be the only podcast on Apple podcasts. I'll have the only podcast in the world, and then people will have no choice but to listen to Neutrino Watch. And as someone who is passionate about communicating science, I can't think of a better impact of my work. That's where we're at. It feels like a win-win situation to me. So hang on in there, and I'll let you know how the Faraday cage construction goes when I come back tomorrow.
Welcome back to Neutrino Watch on Sunday, the 19th of May, 2024.
The Faraday cage is complete. That's exciting. The calculations, which were so disdained by my university examiners, say the event is 2 days away, but I'm not going to be hubristic about the margin of error on that. I'm going to get all of this hard drive and all of that data into the Faraday cage after I finish recording this. Now that it's finished, there's no point to take any risks. So I'll probably take a break of about 3 or 4 days just to be on the safe side, and then I'll be back. And fingers crossed, those were just weird signals in the wires, and it will be back to business as usual. But on the other hand, if there was a global subatomic debris event, then this will be the only podcast in the iTunes chart. So please do remember to like, rate, and review the best podcast, the only podcast on the internet, Neutrino Watch.